Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America.
We cannot continue these brilliant successes in the future unless we continue to learn from the past. It is necessary to keep the former experiences of our country, both at home and abroad, continually before us. If we are to have any science of government, if we wish to erect new structures, we must have a definitive knowledge of the old foundations. We must realize that human nature is about the most constant thing in the universe, and that the essentials of human relationships do not change. We must frequently take our bearings from these fixed stars of our political past if we are to expect to hold a true course. And that was said on a chilly day in March in 1925 by Calvin Coolidge. He knew the importance of knowing your history. He knew that in order to be able to move forward, you must know the past, because the atrocities of the past should never be repeated. How many times have we heard that? You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. And right now, we have a group of people that have no desire to look at the past. They have no desire to learn from America's experiences, from the experiences of the world. They are interested only in one thing, and that is power. And we can see that playing out in front of us day by day by day by day. We have a lot of challenges that we are going to be facing with this administration. And yet, every night when I turn on some talking head for a couple of minutes, they always come up with the same question. Don't these people get it? Why do they want to ruin America? Why do they want to take away our jobs? Why do they want to make sure that Americans are going to be flooded with low-level employees that eventually will have no job and will be forced to be on the government dole? Why are they doing that? Take a look at who these people are, and it is very important that we recognize one thing, and that thing is they are communists. They are not thinkers like we are. They have no desire to increase the productivity and the success of America. That is not their MO. They have one desire, and that is power. And they do not care about anything else except power. And that power is granted to them when we do nothing and do not know our history. So I took a look back, and I looked at the 1960s, and I said, boy, we're recreating the same stupid nonsense that we did in the 60s. Being a child of the 60s, I remember every day getting up and hearing how some city was rioted, how some city was looted, how people were losing their businesses. Does that sound familiar? How gangs were going out and just destroying things? Doesn't that sound familiar? And what happened after the 60s? Ah, we stepped into the 70s. What were the 70s like? Because that's where we're headed right now. All of the minority groups were marginalized. They were pulled apart. They were told that the Americans were racist. Wow, what a surprise. And then all of a sudden, big bloated government bureaucratic programs filled up our government and caused huge inflation. We had long gas lines because we had no gas. Have we learned nothing? I am right. We have learned nothing, and we have learned nothing by design. We have learned nothing because the powers that be have decided that America is a racist country and must be punished for our racism. Totally, 100% not true. Because if anyone looked at America and saw, number one, the people who are telling us this, I don't know about you guys, but I certainly hate being lectured to by some white dude who's got mega bucks telling me how I am white privilege. Really? Did you walk in my shoes? Did you know the hardships that I followed? No, you did not. But it's easy for you to point fingers and say, white supremacy, equality, garbage. That's not their MO. They have one MO, and that is this. We must destroy America. That's a harsh thing to say, but that is what they are absolutely 100% dedicated to do. And the things that we're going to talk about today will show you the plans that they have put in place to make sure that this destruction is complete. And when I talk about plans of the future, I like to talk with people who understand the past. And that is why I have invited Armando Escalante on with me today, because he works with JBS. And they were there, the John Birch Society. They were there in the beginning screaming, don't let these communists in. And what did we do? We turned around and pointed fingers and said, what conspiracy theorists? How dare they say that? And we went after them, just like what's happening now. The difference was we didn't have social media. And that, I think, has played a big role. So, Armando, thank you so much for joining me today. What do you think about what I just said?
First of all, thank you for having me. It's always an honor. To answer your question, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We definitely have had a deliberate effort that has been working tirelessly to destroy the very fabric and foundation of our system, politically, economically, and our social order, so that they can bring in, through communism and socialism, and merge us into a global governance system. That's what we see in everything that you're talking about, is basically the means by which we can, they are attempting to get us from point A to point B.
Yeah, I always wondered when I listened to them, why would they want the American people to suffer? And then you have to realize that their hatred of America is so deep, just by the words and the things that they say. What we have to do, as they speak, is think the opposite. Whatever they're saying, when they say unity, what do they really mean? They mean segregation and destruction. When they say equality, what do they really mean? It means that they will take from us and give to people who don't deserve by bringing in illegal immigrants or by giving our resources to foreign countries who actually hate us. And the thing that scares me the most, and I am going to say that out loud, folks, it scares me the most, is H.R. 1. Have you heard about that, Armando?
Yes, I have. I've done some looking into it, so I have heard it.
Okay, so let's take a few minutes here and go over some of the goodies that are in H.R. 1. And the one that sticks out in my mind right now is that they are going to solidify, codify voter fraud. They want to take away the rights of the states. Now, remember, folks, the procedure for elections are handled by the individual states, especially with state and local elections. The only one that the feds get involved in are the federal elections, and yet in H.R. 1, the feds will be telling the states how to run their elections. How is that going to work, Armando?
Well, you kind of have to look at why, because anybody that has one eye and half sense and is paying attention, and just common sense alone, dictates basically that when you have a system where you create an environment where, early voting or mail-in voting or same-day voting or, you know, all these ridiculous things that they put into the election laws, you have to ask yourself, well, why are they doing that? Are they really that stupid? And the answer is no, they're not. They are deliberately doing this on purpose because the aim is to make it easy for them, for the other side, to get their people in government, hook or crook. And that's what you see. So there's a conspiratorial effort that's behind all of this, because it's not a coincidence. It's not Democrats or leftists that, you know, see inequality and see abuse in elections, and they say, and they make a claim that, you know, we have to make things fair. That's not what it's about. That's the con. The reality is, what they want to do is they want to make it so there cannot be elections that are right. I don't even like to use the word fair, because that's a word that they like to use, but elections that are honest, because that's the key. Is it an honest election? Or, you know, we need to have a system where the elections can be honest. And when they break that down, they're not interested in them being honest. They're interested in taking the rules of the football game and make them so that only they win. And that's the problem. And that's deliberate. The people that are passing these laws are taking their marching orders for the committee that runs the world, basically, the globalists, the big elites of the world. They're the ones that are dictating all the different things, whether it's in election laws or whether it's in whatever the issue, cars, healthcare, mask orders, police powers, you name it. They're the ones that are dictating all those things that need to be done in order to undermine and destroy those institutions so that they can basically conquer us. So it's really, really no different than opening up the gate for the enemy to just walk right in. And that's essentially what you're doing when you, well, HR1 does. It allows the enemy to just walk right into the gates and take over the land.
Yes. All the things that we have been screaming about over the last election will become law. They will be allowed to do this. I especially love the name of HR1. It's For the People Act.
Right.
Sure it is. It should be for the Takeaway of Power from the People Act, because that's what they have done. They are eliminating the ability of the people to redress grievances and to change their government should they not like the way their government is servicing them. Mm-hmm. So it's also very important for people to understand, you said the club running the world. This club is not just a Democrat club. Please
Correct.
Understand that. This club encompasses the rhinos in the Republican Party.
This committee of that runs the world, basically, they're the powerful people in the world that basically rule the world. It's the system. You know, nobody really knows how that system works, but they're the ones behind the scenes that run this world. And they have organizations by which they're intellectual organizations. And then those organizations are the ones that introduce policy and get their people elected, you know, and they'll put them in the Republican Party and they'll put them in the Democratic Party so that they can work to achieve their end. Whatever that in the end is, the destruction of our political system, economic system, and our social order. Because if you can get our system to collapse, the solution that they are bringing to us that's going to solve all the problems of America and the world is a one world government, a one world system, the New World Order, as they call it. That's the key thing that people need to understand. Every policy, whether it comes from the Republican side or the Democratic side, it all leads towards the destruction of our system. That's why you see, you know, and a good example is what we saw with the elections and what we saw with the certification of the votes. It's so obvious that the states cheated or that there was voter fraud in those states, but yet the votes were certified. And then they used the situation in Washington by putting in agents in there, you know, Antifa people and those, to kind of make it look like it was the Trump people that did it, when in fact it really was not them. It was really the other side. And they just used, you know, the media to now kind of turn the focus. And again, used that to, you know, kind of, it was like a domino effect to get those in government, particularly the Republicans that were opposing the certification. At the end, they just all, you know, lined up perfectly. And then everybody wound up certifying the votes. That's how it works.
Exactly.
That's how our system's working. And that's what people need to understand, that there are conspiratorial forces working behind the scenes. Once we become aware of those, we're going to be more apt to pay more attention and not focus too much on the issue, not so much on the what, but the why.
Exactly. And Please remember, this is very, very important. The object of what went on in the Capitol was so that no evidence could be shown to the senators. It had nothing to do with anything else other than creating a diversion to do exactly as Armando described, to have the senators go out, be scared, and be told that they're coming after them, and they better hurry up back into the Senate chamber and vote to certify the election, period. And the senators were scared enough to do that. And that is horrifying when we look at it. And then now add on top of that the destruction of America with H.R. 1, and that bill is horrible. I will only pray and pray that the Supreme Court, because it's going to wind up in the Supreme Court, because it is totally 100% unmistakably unconstitutional. There is nothing in the Constitution that addresses what H.R. 1 wants to address. And now our government and their media will be determining what is free speech, what you can say, what you can't say. Folks, it's very, very important that we understand what I'm going to tell you. This game is being played, and it has nothing to do with us. We are the consequences, the sheeple, the useless eaters, just their means to production, because that is what this is all about. They must control the means of production of all resources and distribution of all resources. That's what their goal is. So this is all about money, power, and control. Nothing else. Has nothing to do with whether you're a nice person or not, whether they like you or not. You are in the way. And since they are communists, which is really what they are, we should call them communists, they want 100% control without any dissension, period. No discussion after that. That's what their aim is. So hold on, folks. Hold that thought. We will be right back. This is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education and my guest from the John Birch Society, JBS, Armando Escalante. We'll be right back.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Welcome back, folks. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education with my guest, Armando Escalante from the John Birch Society. Boy, the John Birch Society took a big hit. I remember being told constantly, over and over again, of the wild conspiracy theories that they were sprouting, that the United Nations was dreaming up some horrific communist plot to take over the world. Have we progressed since the 70s? We certainly have. And what is happening now is that any opposition is going to be labeled either as hate speech or a conspiracy theory. That's the goal. That's how they will try to make sure that we have no credibility when we make an issue. Just remember, think of what President Trump went through. I think there was over 75 court cases that were heard. Not one of them addressed the merits. All they did was talk about you have no jurisdiction, which obviously he did. They refused to hear anything that did not fit in with their MO, with their modus operandi. Remember, folks, everything is connected. Nothing is random. There are no consequences for their actions. Everything has a plan, and all plans are based on lies, which is why history cannot be taught. And conspiracies will be the word of the day. Armando, what do you think? Coming from JBS, I know that they took huge hits as their truth was diminished by the opposition.
Sure, yeah. You know, one of the main reasons we took a hit is because we were on the front lines of exposing these conspiratorial forces that have been working to undermine us. And I have an example here. I'm going to kind of quote little excerpts from, many of us know of the 45 communist goals. You know, a lot of your audience are probably pretty familiar with that. When you read those, it's pretty obvious that that's a plan. It's a list of things to do. So when you look at that list, I mean, it screams conspiracy. And people sat down, they plotted and planned, they made a list of 45 goals, and they said, this is what needs to be accomplished. Well, there's another document called the Declaration of Interdependence, and we had quite a few congressional leaders, senators, and prominent people in business and other institutions that actually signed this document back in 1976. So I'm going to give you a little taste so you can get some idea, because when you look at the things that are happening right now, in essence, they're trying to fulfill this agenda. So as we, in the course of history, the threat of extinction confronts mankind. It is necessary for the people of the United States to declare their interdependence with the people of all nations and to embrace these principles and build those institutions which will enable mankind to survive and civilization to flourish. You see right there that now they're saying we need to stop being dependent and we need to be interdependent with other nations. Then it says, 2 centuries ago, our forefathers brought forth a new nation. Now we must join with others to bring forth a new world order. So now, further down, it says, to establish a new world order of compassion, peace, justice, and security, it is essential that mankind free itself from the limitations of national prejudice. See, our whole immigration policy is based on that premise right there. And acknowledge that the forces that unite it are incomparably deeper than those that divide it, that all people are part of one global community, dependent on one body of resources, bound together by the ties of a common humanity and associated in a common adventure on planet Earth. So all immigration policy is based on this, and all the election laws are based on this, because part of that, bringing about that compassion and bringing about justice, is that's the philosophy that's being used to justify why we should penetrate the election institutions so they can destroy it, so they can build this new world order, because the only way they can build it is to destroy national sovereignty. And in essence, if you allow criminals to get into government, the only way you're going to be able to get them in there is through hook and crook. And then when those criminals get into government, then those criminals from the inside can just blow up the Death Star, basically. And that's what's going on. And that's the basis. This is the foundation of where many of these politicians are coming from, because they know what this means and they embrace the New World Order. They want, because they benefit from it and they think that they're going to get something out of it. So this is where we are.
Yes, and it's a very, very scary place. I wonder how many people remember when Obama said, we are one day away from fundamentally transforming America.
There we go.
I wonder how many people understood what transformation actually means. Because in order to transform something, you have to destroy what was there before. And
correct.
We can see that path very clearly.
Absolutely.
Their goal is destruction.
Absolutely. And it's the destruction of the existing order, which is a benevolent order. The American system is a species of the good. And those that want a new world order are evil. That committee that runs the world, they're evil. And they want tyranny. They want to have humanity as slaves. And that's where the battle is. It's a battle between those that want to enslave us and then those of us that want to be free. That's where the battle is.
Well, I shudder to think that our hands for America are going to be in the Supreme Court, because I just saw an article that Eric Holder, remember Eric Holder, AG, who was, quote, Obama's wingman, just made a statement that it's time to pack the Supreme Court. Why is that a bad idea?
Well, it's a bad idea because when they start packing the Supreme Court, they're not going to pack them with constitutionalists. They're going to pack them with communists and globalists. You know, the Supreme Court, as it sits right now, even with the Republicans that are in there, they're under the control of the globalists. And it becomes really obvious because those things that are important to the globalists, every institution, whether it's the executive, legislative, or judicial, or even the states, for that matter, they work in concert to make sure that the agenda of the committee that runs the world is carried out. That's why the Supreme Court stepped aside and did not get involved with the whole certification issue, because they're on the take. So they have the courts, they have the legislative branch, they have the executive branch, and they have, you know, most of the states. I mean, there's probably a few congressional leaders here and there and some municipalities that, you know, that don't bow the knee to Baal. But essentially, that's happened. And if you don't mind, I want to talk a little bit about why that is, because I think it's important for people to understand. We must take back the power centers politically, economically, and socially. But we cannot take those power centers back unless the electorate is informed. You know, it's kind of like if you give a five-year-old a gun, a loaded gun, what do you think he's going to do? Of either killing himself or killing somebody is very high, because he just doesn't understand the power that he has in his hand. Well, it's the same way if you get people that don't really understand the problem that we have, and you give them the power to act in order to take the country back, to take the power centers, they can wind up either sabotaging it or undermining it or not getting what needs to be done because they don't understand the power that they have. That's why being educated on what's happening with the conspiratorial forces and being well educated on our constitutional form of government, our free market system, and the Christian social order is so critical, because then an informed electorate can and will be able to take back the power centers. And that's what needs to happen, so that we don't wind up in a situation where we lose our nation as a free people and get merged into a global governance system.
This is why the borders are a prime target. Have you ever wondered why they will spend billions of dollars, we American citizens will spend billions of dollars and send our armies over to places like the Middle East and help them build border walls, and yet in America, the walls are coming down? Why are the walls coming down? For exactly what Armando just said. If the idea is a borderless world with shared resources, so that means, because America is a very resource-rich country, that they have to change the way Americans think, especially about owning things. You can't have ownership, because ownership builds wealth, and they can't have one person being wealthier than the other. But the reality is, if Americans are free and Americans can own property and businesses and can support themselves and don't need the government to support them, well, that is a horrible example for the rest of the world.
And in that same Declaration of Independence, the first affirmation after the preamble is this. It says, we affirm that the resources of the globe are finite, not infinite, that they are the heritage of no one nation or generation, but of all peoples, nations, and of posterity, and that our deepest obligation is to transmit to that posterity a planet richer in material bounty, in beauty, and in delight that we found it. Narrow notions of national sovereignty must not be permitted to curtail that obligation. That's the philosophical foundation of our immigration system that you're just talking about.
Yeah, that is the whole nine yards, folks. There will never be ownership. Your children, and they're not going to do it by today saying, Karen, you have to give us your house. That's not the way it's going to work. What it is going to work is when I go to pass my house down to my heirs, they will be taxed so high that it'll be impossible for them to keep my house. And the house will turn over to the government. And that's exactly what they want.
And I think it's important for people to understand that much of the policies are driven by a philosophy. And that philosophy is collectivist in nature. So I want to talk a little bit about that very quickly, because I think people understand what collectivism is. Collectivism is basically the idea that the group is more important than the individual, and that the individual must be sacrificed for the greater good of the greater number. So, for example, the individual, this is the collectivist idea, will always seek to self-interest and self-preservation. Which, by the way, that's a good thing. That is a biblical thing. You know, we eat because of self-interest and self-preservation. We clothe ourselves for that same purpose. And we house ourselves for that same purpose. So the collectivist says that that's what the individual does. And in order for the individual will never seek anything outside of itself, and in particularly the group and those that surround them. Therefore, there must be a force that restrains the individual so that the group can be served. And the only force that can do that is the force of government. And that's where government comes in to force the individual to do things for the greater good of the greater number. That's the philosophy that's behind the mask orders. That's the philosophy that's behind the lockdowns. That's the philosophy that's behind just about anything that we see where government sees as its purpose to enforce justice, because that's the idea of justice. See, justice to be served because the collective needs to be served, and the individual, if they will not serve the collective, then the individual must be removed, destroyed, and restrained.
I'm re-educated. Look at what they're saying. We have to be re-educated from thinking as an individual to thinking as a collective. Mm-hmm. It's so sad to think that we spent how many years getting rid of segregation, saying that all Americans are equal, that we don't care what you look like, we care how you act, how you perform. When I was in business, I never hired somebody because of what they looked like. I hired them because they could do the job. I wasn't interested in what they looked like. I was interested in, can you do the job? Sure. That's what's important. And yet, what they are doing today is turning the clock back and resegregating the things that we put to bed before and said no segregation. Now think back, who did that in our government? Oh, Woodrow Wilson. After we spent years and years fighting to desegregate, Woodrow Wilson got in office, and what was the first thing he did? He segregated the government.
And he was a progressive. And he was a progressive thought, because progressives are collectivists. And always that same goal, and that's the destruction of national sovereignty, and particularly the United States, because not only is national, because, you know, we have all these other nations that, you know, operate under national sovereignty. You know, you have Spain and England and, you know, all these other countries, but America is different. Because the system in America is a benevolent system. It is a system that recognizes that there is a higher authority to appeal to, and that our rights, our freedom of action, really come from divine providence. They come from they come from a divine source. So as a result, you cannot morally infringe on those things that have divine origin. So our system is designed so that you work around that, so that the rights of the individual that come from God are secured by limiting government power. That's the key. You limit government power to secure the rights of the people. And that's the system that is that the committee that runs the world doesn't want the world to live by, because if that happens, then tyranny is out of business. And they know that. And they've known that for 250 years. And they've been working tirelessly to reverse that trend and return us to the old order, which is a feudal system, a tyrannical system, where you have a ruling class, and then you have those who serve the ruling class, and then those who serve the ruling class have no rights, have no property rights, own nothing, but are total slaves to that ruling class, and that's what they want.
And the scary part is, I believe the technology is going to enable them to do that.
Yes, and technocracy. That's one of the things that's happening now.
Yes.
The technology, I'm really glad you brought that up. The technology is making it possible for them to create a slavery system where they can track you through injections, through the smart grid, through the smart system, you know, whether it's smart meters or smart appliances, smart growth. All those things are designed where they, you know, that makes it possible for them to have total control of the individual, not only the mind of the individual, but the body of the individual, but the mind of the individual as well. That's what we're undergoing right now. That change from our system to that new system, and that is how they're going to enforce the new world order.
Absolutely. Armando, tell everyone where they can find you as we are coming to the close of this segment. It is very important. If you have questions, please contact Armando. Please pay attention to the writings on JBS. But where can everyone find you?
If you're in Florida or Alabama, go to jbs.org. You will see my name there, and you can contact me that way. If you're in another state, you'll see another coordinator, and you can contact them. But they can go to jbs.org, and they can just go to the website. And I encourage people to go to the video section and then click on most popular videos. I think that's the term, or popular videos, and watch Overview of America and watch all the other videos that are on that particular channel, because really solid information that's going to help people begin to understand and restore the knowledge of our system.
And we need to do that, folks. So please visit JBS. This is Karen Schoen and my guest Armando Escalante, and we will be back shortly.
Fighting every day against the internet monopolies that are trying to stifle our right to free speech and freedom of assembly. 5 years on the air, and we will not be silenced. America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Back, everyone, and this is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education. I thought you might be interested in what Comrade Biden has been telling us. So I pulled a clip from one of his disgusting speeches, and I wanted to share it with you because this is what he thinks of us. I believe we are in a battle for the soul of this nation, and the simple truth is our soul be troubled as long as systemic racism is allowed to persist. We can't eliminate simply overnight. We can't even eliminate everything, but it's corrosive, it's destructive, and it's costly. It costs every American, not just who felt the sting of racial injustice. We are not just a nation of morally deprived people because of systemic racism. We are also less prosperous, and we are less successful and less secure. And after he finished that speech, I shook my head and I said to myself, and that is because your policies have created this. Folks, America is not systemically racist. This is even I was shocked. Bill Maher said the same thing. Think about it, folks. How many black Americans are telling us that we're racist while they are making a fortune in whatever endeavor they want? If we were systemically racist, not one of them would rise to the top. And that's the same thing with the rest of the minorities. America bases their what they believe about an individual on their productivity, on their morality, on their responsibility, and on their dedication to family, God, and country. And that's who we want to prosper. That is who America is designed for. And to have these people, as I said before, being lectured by some white dude about how I am a white supremacist racist, when that white dude is making a fortune and I lost a fortune, well, how do you like that? Because that is a big lie. Big lie. Every time you hear that, every time your child hears that, systemic racism, ask them what systemic racism really is, and then ask them, how come America allows mixed marriages and the children from those marriages to exist if we were a systemically racist country? If we were, that would be outlawed, but it's not. My other question thing that he said here was, America is a nation of morally deprived people. Well, if we take God out of everything we do, then of course we're going to be morally deprived. But we are morally deprived by design, not by our own intent. When you eliminate God, you eliminate morality. And America, and what we do in America, is based on the moral fiber of our Constitution. It is designed for a morally balanced people. But when I talk about morality and God, I like to talk to the expert. Pastor Rick, we need some of your nice, calming voices, because after I have been listening to Comrade Biden, I just get so angry at how he could say that. But then I have to remember, he's a communist, and that's what they do. So what about this moral depravity, Pastor Rick? You buying into that?
Well, no, I'm not buying into that in the way that I think they want us to. One of the things that I would like to ask Mr. Biden is, okay, if you're saying that we have this moral problem, would you please share with all of us what informs your understanding of right and wrong? What helps you know what is morally right and morally wrong? I've asked that question of a few people over the years, and I started asking it for people who were running for office, because I know, and he knows, and you know, we all know, every time one of our representatives makes a decision, every time they cast a vote, they are deciding between something that is right and something that is wrong. And so I always want to know, how do you know what's right and what's wrong? So that's one of the things that I would like to ask Joe Biden is to tell us, what is it that informs your understanding of right and wrong? Because he is declaring some things right and some things wrong. I don't know what his answer would be, but it would be fascinating to understand that. The second thing is his concern about moral well-being, shall we say, certainly implies that there is a moral standard to follow. And I wonder what his moral standard that he follows. That's the same question said a little differently. If he thinks we're so morally deprived, depraved, deficient, you could describe it a lot of ways, then we need to realize that he is certainly acknowledging that there is a moral standard to follow. So if he were to tell us what his moral standard that he follows is, that would help us understand. The concern that I have with so many people today, and I suspect he's the same way, is that they don't really have a moral standard. They have a sense as they go from day to day that this is right and this is wrong, and I can benefit from saying this is right and I can benefit from saying this is wrong. They don't really seem to have some true north in terms of a moral guidance. And I think that's well illustrated. And it continually confounds me, that we continue to practice and encourage and support the killing of babies by abortion. I think if there's a moral standard of right and wrong, can't we all agree that it's wrong to kill people and we shouldn't be killing each other? So, you know, it's very inconsistent at best, and it's totally confused on the other end of that spectrum. So I think there are a lot of questions that would be nice to ask. I don't think we'd get straight answers, but it would be nice to ask them.
Oh, I agree with you. We will never get a straight answer, because my question is always the same. If you believe and support the killing of babies in the womb in an abortion, then how can you be a God-fearing Christian or Jew who believes in the sanctity of life? How does that work? And I have not got an answer ever. Maybe you can answer it, Pastor.
Oh, well, I don't have an answer for that either. I think about it in different terms sometimes, maybe, than other people do. We read the Bible, and we read about nations, groups of people that practice child sacrifice, and we are rightfully horrified. How could they do that? Well, they do that to get what they want. They are concerned. They think they are appeasing their God, certainly not Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, certainly not the God of the Christian and Hebrew scriptures. But they have this concept that their God needs to be appeased, and so they do these terrible things in hopes of appeasing their God. Well, today, people don't frame it that way, but isn't much of the practice of abortion to avoid the responsibility of a baby so that people can have it their way, whatever that is? So it's two sides of the same coin, that people just want what they want, and they really don't care who suffers the consequences. And sadly, it's babies that suffer the consequences.
And by not teaching that a fetus is a baby, a living being in the womb, then there's no reason to have any protection when I'm having sex, because I can just have an abortion. It won't matter. I do understand why these women don't take precautions to begin with. If you don't want to get pregnant, there are so many different ways to stop you from getting pregnant. Be smart. Well, don't.
And we're morally confused.
Yes.
On all of that.
That's and a good
all
thing.
All of the things that you're pointing out, I mean, people could pay attention, and they could be responsible, and they could, as my grandparents used to say, they could keep their pants on and keep them zipped, and it wouldn't be a problem. Well, we're morally confused about this whole issue, and it's well illustrated. I think it was yesterday, I heard the news report of a delivery driver driving his delivery van, taking packages from house to house or business to business and delivering them. He came across a baby in the baby's car seat sitting on the side of the road. And it made a big splash, because everybody recognized that this man stopped and took care of this baby, called the authorities. People responded immediately. Turns out that the baby was there because the mother's car had been stolen, and the thief didn't realize the baby was there, stopped and put the baby unattended by the side of the road. And everybody reads that story and says, what a great hero he was rescuing the baby, and how awful this guy was for stealing the car and just casting the baby aside. Well, they're right. The guy was a hero, and the thief was absolutely morally bankrupt to put a baby at risk like that. So if we tell that story and we understand what's going on here, and yet we sanction and approve the killing of babies on the other hand, it makes no sense. We are totally inside out and upside down in our thinking. And that's the problem of the day. We're just not willing to think straight, to face reality, and to take responsibility for our actions and for the consequences of those actions.
Well, when they come out with the policies, the communists come out with the policies that they're coming out with, I always go and I look to find How are they doing that, and why are they thinking that way? Somewhere, somehow, something must be told to them that makes them think that way. And lo and behold, I go back and I always look at the 45 goals of communism. So guess what I found? Number 38 says, transfer some of the powers of the arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders with no one but the psychiatrist can understand or treat. Doesn't that sound familiar as we dismantle our police departments and bring in psychologists and psychiatrists who are going to do what in the middle of a robbery? Tell me what they're going to do. They're going to say, wait a minute, stop that robbery. Let me find out. Did you hate your mother? Did you hate your father? What horrible thing happened in your life that's making you do this? Well, this psychiatric profession is used, and mental health is used, to describe just about every infraction without actually going to the cause, and sometimes, most of the time, without even causing consequences for their actions. And their actions are vast. Here's another one, goal number 39. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. And I'm just going to read you the last two because I'd like you to comment on these two, Pastor. Number 40, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. And number 41, emphasize the need to raise the children away from the negative influence of their parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and the retarding of children to the suppressive influence of their parents. Oh my gosh. Wow, does that describe all of their behavior? What do you think, Pastor Rick?
Well, it certainly is an unbelievable concept that they would try to pit children against their parents. Of course they did. And of course that goes on to a certain extent, even now, and people need to be aware of that, what their children go to school and tell about their family and all those kinds of things. We just don't know who's listening and what's going on, because there's a certain amount of that happening. But it also shows, once again, I don't mean to be talking about the same thing all the time, but it goes back to, what is your moral authority? You know, and if Joe Biden and others would say the Bible is our moral authority, then the Bible says that children are supposed to honor their father and mother. And so to separate them from their family is a violation of the moral authority. And yet we see that happening. That's not acknowledged. And of course, it's what you've said many times. People just want to put God out of everything and not acknowledge him. And of course, that makes their moral authority themselves. And they want to do whatever's right in their own eyes and answer to no one. And it's corrosive, and it will corrupt the society. It will tear us apart. Children need their parents. They need the guidance of their parents. They need the support of their parents. We can't leave them adrift as this idea does. They need our help. They need our support. And we need to support the parents and have the parents act responsibly. That seems pretty simple to me. We've done it for years and years. Why not keep doing it?
Well, we can't keep doing it because, as we have learned from Comrade Hillary, it takes a village to raise your child. Your child doesn't belong to you. Your child belongs to the state. And this is what the communists believe. So, Pastor Rick, we are in for some heavy times in these next 4 years. And my recommendation to everyone is, look inward. Look at your own community. Look at your own school. And most important, look at your state. Because these are the people who will protect you if they know what is important to you. The America is a representative government, even though the communists are trying to tell you it is a democracy. It is still a representative government. And if we don't tell our representatives what we want, how will they know? They won't. So it's on us. Remember, I always say America is a participation sport. You can't watch America from the sidelines. You have to participate. And unfortunately, we are at the end of our time. But Pastor Rick, we need a prayer. We need one this week. This was a horrible week. However, we got one win, and that was a good thing. A judge just said that Biden's deportation order has to be should be stopped, and further review is necessary because of what he demands. And in order to implement something as stupid as stopping deportations, we have to investigate and make a determination what that will do to our country. And letting these people in, these COVID possibly people that nobody will be screening, isn't that a nice thing? Letting them into our country unabated, or not deporting the people who have committed serious crimes, is not in our national interest. So, Pastor, we need a prayer for this week. And I am sure that our listeners know that God is on our side.
Well, I think we are all in need of prayer, and we need to align ourselves with God's perspective. And so let's pray and ask the one who really can rescue us from all of this, ask him to rescue us indeed. Father, we are grateful that we can trust you. You have demonstrated over and over that in your greatness and your glory, you still desire our well-being, and you work toward us with mercy and kindness and a desire to lift us up to a higher level. We pray for our nation that goes through these stresses and strains, and this seems far different and worse than we've ever seen. We pray that you would move across the hearts of the people, that they would begin to understand that there is a right and a wrong. There is a God in heaven who tells us what is right and what is wrong. And when we follow that, we can go forward. Help people to see with wisdom the right way to go, and then give all of us the courage of our right convictions, that we will walk in the way that we should go, that we will follow your path, and we will not be swayed one way or the other, but we will have allegiance to you and turn our country in the right direction. It's in the name of the one that you sent to rescue us, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen and Pastor Rick Stevens wishing you a wonderful week, and we will see you again next time.
But I always stand proud and free. I'm American.